I didn't think three was going to be as bad as it was. I was hoping for a strong stick the landing finish on three, and to this day I can't. It's hard. It's work for me to watch three.
Three is the one people shit on the most. Corey, what'd you think of three?
I just watched it yesterday, and I didn't think it was all that bad. I do think it some of the characters do get a little silly. In particular, Parker Posey's character.
That's right. One of my least favorite actors of all time. Sorry.
She's a good actress. I just think that character was just a little too much.
Right.
Look, at this point we know that Scream is meta, and it's making fun of the very thing that it is.
Right.
And I think they were doing a little bit too much, nailing too much on the head with the whole Hollywood thing,
right.
You know, and being on the sets and stuff. And,
right.
You know, in hindsight, you didn't really need Jay and Silent Bob in the movie. You know, Kevin Smith shows up for a minute.
Right.
See what I mean?
You know.
Right.
But, you know, also, too, you got to remember, too.
Carrie Fisher.
Yeah.
But you also got. Just like her. I was up for the role as Princess Leia. I'm like, come on, bro.
I was going to say, also, too, you got to remember, too, this was Dimension Films, which was a subsidiary of Miramax. And that's all. It was all one big happy family. Kevin Smith was under that family because you know Miramax was putting out his movies.
Right.
So I get it, but I'm just.
Was that around the same time as Resurrection?
Oh, Halloween Resurrection?
Yeah, Halloween Resurrection at the same time as Scream 3.
You know what? Because Scream 3 came out in the 2000s.
Well, Scream 3 came out in, 2000, February 2000.
Okay. So it was 2 years before Resurrection.
Yeah.
Resurrection was 2002.
Right. Okay. Just trying to see the connection of the corniness there.
No. Dimension.
Because we outrank you now. We outrank you.
Well, Dimension Pictures, I mean, they made their bones on horror. That was Miramax's subsidiary to do, you know, low to medium budget range horror movies, and it worked. I mean,
they did Urban Legend, right?
They did a lot of stuff. A lot of your horror movies from the mid '90s, mid '90s all the way through like the early 2000s was, to me, the company that's putting out those horror movies at the time, or the premier company was Dimension Pictures. And then I think at one point in the 2000s, Lionsgate took over. With the Saw franchise and all the stuff they were doing, they started becoming the go-to studio.
Right, now it's Blumhouse.
Yeah, now it's Blumhouse. So they go through cycles. Every few years, it's one studio.
A24.
So yeah, you know, every studio comes out, and you can understand why these films are not expensive to make. That's another reason I was going to go back to Scream 1. Scream was probably the biggest hit of '96 because it didn't cost that much money to make Scream. I mean, probably the highest paid actor was Drew Barrymore,
right?
In that series,
who was incredible. We didn't talk about how good she was,
right?
And the movie made gangbusters. I mean, it did. Not to mention what Scream did on home video,
right?
You know,
I got it. That opening when it came out on Tuesday at Walmart back in so it dropped in '96. I think it was out on VHS in like April of '97.
Well, you got to remember too,
and I grabbed it that Tuesday. You know what I'm saying?
Like, Scream also hit the theaters.
Or was it October
right,
of 97?
Right before the dawn of of DVD. Because DVD really came on the scene in 97. But DVD didn't really pick up steam until 99 after The Matrix came out and everybody
wanted the clean version of,
So, but Scream 3, I liked it. I liked the whole thing with the brother because here's the thing, too, once again, and I don't want to genderize, but, we're in a stage where we talk about, diverse roles for women and stuff like that. I think it's good to like have women play less than noble characters because typically in horror movies, all the bad stuff or the things that are set in motion are done by men.
Mm-hmm.
But especially after watching Scream 3, you could kind of argue probably the biggest villain in the entire series is Maureen Prescott.
Right.
And she's not even alive.
Right.
And the fact that, she had this child that she abandoned.
Right.
And so he was in a way, nothing really justifies cold-blooded murder.
Right.
But you understand his anger and his resentment towards Sydney, and why, this mother, I'm a child, I want my mother, and my mother, has cut me off. She wants to leave this world behind as she was Irina Reynolds, whatever.
Right.
The actress she played, that doesn't exist to me, you don't exist to me. And that's hard, for a child. So I liked his motivation. He's probably arguably the toughest Ghostface opponent for Sydney. I mean,
you think so?
I mean, he was really laying on, slamming her head against the wall and stuff. I mean, more so, Billy, maybe I have to relook at Billy Loomis again. But, I mean, Scott Foley, who played the character, what was his name, Roman?
Roman, yeah.
What was the last name? It was a common last name, too. But he was really, you know, tit for tat with her. I mean, going at it. And maybe because they're sisters and brothers, that, they both had that spirit, that fighting spirit in them. I liked it. But like I said, it is sillier in many ways than the rest of them with the surrounding cast. The one girl, Emily Mortimer, who played, she's probably the actress that was playing Sydney and
the dad. Second time.
Yeah, she was kind of like, you know, a little goofy. And so,
what's his name? Thought he was going to die, so he left a video. So he had Jamie Kennedy, had a cameo. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit like that, I was just over it. You know what I mean? Like, it was just hard to get through. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't wait for it to be over. And it was a shame because I love one, and I'm very fond of two. I just think that it just kills it every time there's a new killer under the mask. To have somebody be that brutal or that... it's just a reach. You know what I mean? Like Freddy, Jason, they could come back and that's just in their nature, and Mike, you know, say, but to have someone brand new plot this out, you know what I'm saying? To how many devious criminal serial killer masterminds are there in this fucking universe of theirs?
I see your point. It's kind of like Die Hard. How many times was McClane going to run into terrorists?
Right.
You know, really, Die Hard probably should have stopped at one.
Right. That's another one. But I love two and three.
But I like two more.
Yeah.
But I liked how it connected to Sydney. I mean, I thought that was cool. To me, it wasn't too far-fetched that she had a brother she never knew about.
Michael Myers and Jamie Lee Curtis. You know what I'm saying?
Strode.
You know what I'm saying? Like, them being brothers and sisters. It's been done before.
Well, here's another interesting thing
Go ahead.
Here's another interesting thing about Scream 3. Just like the 2022 movie that we'll talk about here in coming up shortly, Sydney's not really in it all that much.
Right.
Really, a lot of the movie centers around Gale and Dewey running around trying. And Sydney doesn't really come into, like, you know, midway through the movie. And then even then, she's sitting on the sidelines at the police station until, you know, the killer calls her out and she has to come and, you know, save the day, more or less.
Right.
So, you know, that was kind of interesting. Which in a way... wasn't I like Sydney, but it shows how strong Gale and Dewey are as characters as well.
Absolutely.
I mean, I honestly, looking back, you know, now are we allowed spoilers?
Of course.
For those who haven't seen Scream 2022, I'm about to reveal a major spoiler. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, Dewey got killed off, which bummed me out because I really like Dewey.
Right. Like Vito said, Vito, he said Dewey got the Han Solo treatment.
I can conceivably see a movie just around Dewey and Gale. I think they're strong. Although I like the trio, I think they're strongest together, and that's one of the selling points of that whole franchise. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to miss that moving forward with these sequels. You know that they don't have Dewey anymore. And what will be really interesting is to see how Gale is going to be. Maybe we should say that for the conversation in 2022. I don't mean to jump too far. So sorry about that, Mike. I didn't mean it, but
no, it's all good.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll come back to that.
My thing with three is that the whole brother and sister's been done, and for a franchise that kind of, you know, reinvented the wheel, so to speak, when it comes to slashers, it was a disappointment. You know what I mean? Because Billy and Stu and having two killers, that was I can't think of any movie that had two killers.
But see, that was a cool thing. They didn't.
That was dope.
They went with one killer.
Well, no. But I'm just saying. So, but the brother and sister was the rehash. And the thing that we've seen, whether it be Star Wars or whether it be Halloween, it's just the relation thing was done. I was done by three. I don't know. It was just where I was in my life. I was just done with Scream 3. You know, I was just disappointed. It's not one of the ones where I would drop the remote. If I'm watching Change of Channels and Scream 2's on and it's, you know, with the, you know, bad words and everything, I would drop the remote and still watch it. Three, I just keep changing channels. You know, I'm not a fan of it. I don't know. It just doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah, I mean, you suspend your disbelief as much as you can, right? But
right.
You got the scene where, you know, all the actors are in the trailer and the killer's faxing the...
Yeah, yeah. It's in the house, actually.
Or in the house. That that was a bit much.
Yeah.
And he's standing there reading it going, it's going to blow, or whatever he says. It got a little more far-fetched.
Yeah, you know that Lethal Weapon type explosion seemed a little...
Right.
Little beyond Scream's range. Like, do we really need that type, you know, like that John McTiernan, you know, Joe Silver era action explosions? But also, too, and I'll bring one of the problems, and I guess, I was saying in a roundabout way, the supporting stars aren't as cool to me in Scream 3.
Right.
I when we move to the next one, I definitely like the supporting cast in the next right. one better than you know.
Yeah, this is the Iron Mike's.
But
favorite.
I like Scott Foley. I thought Scott Foley was cool. I did.
Who's
I thought,
Scott Foley?
Yeah, I thought he was cool as Ghostface, her brother. I thought he was cool.
Oh, okay.
But the supporting Roman, cast, right. yeah. Parker Posey. Yeah.
Parker Posey, I can't stand
what's her name? Blade Emily 3. Moore. No, they're all, she's a good actress. Parker mm-hmm. Posey, I liked her better in Blade 3.
No.
Then
we'll get on that.
But Blade
3
is not a good yeah. movie. No. Yeah. I'm just saying I liked her better in Blade 3 than in Scream. But, you know, Emily Mortimer, they're all wonderful actors and actresses.
Right.
I saw Emily Mortimer in a really cool movie with Chiwetel Ejiofor called Red Belt, something I call like Karate Kid for adults.
Mm.
But yeah, and, Patrick Warburton, he was cool in it. You know, I mean, he's a good actor. I mean, right. like I said, these characters.
What did you think about what's his name dying in the opening scene to have a dude die in the opening scene, which I thought
you,
was cool.
Once again, it shows you like because these are all the
what's the character's name?
Cotton Weary, Liev Schreiber. Yeah. These are all the core people from the original movie. And, right. and one thing they always tell you with Scream is like, you know, no one's really safe,
right?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised in the next movie they do kill Sidney off.
Right.
I don't want to see that happen. I really like Sidney Prescott. Right. And I like Gale and Dewey. But one thing about it is, like, no one's safe in this right. world. You know, it is yeah. what it is. So
I thought how they had the movie set built for her, and she went, Sidney ended up on the movie set.
Right.
It was surreal for her character to actually have lived that.
Right.
And then now she's on a set in that city.
That was a cool little swerve.
You know what I mean? That was very interesting. But getting to four I enjoy a lot, and it actually rivals one, the original.
Nice.
To me
okay.
Because,
why?
Well, yeah, because at this point there had been a gap, right? Years yeah. wise from three. What was the gap?
Like a 14-year gap?
I think it was 11-year
gap. 11-year gap.
Yeah, because
2000 was 3.
Was 3? No, 3 wasn't 2000.
Yeah, 3 was like February.
Oh, one, I thought. It was 2000?
Yeah, okay. February 2000.
So 2011 came
look
out.
Look it up.
2011.
Well, I believe you.
Yeah. So 2011 it came out, if I'm pretty sure. Anyway, you grow old with these characters, you know. Right. So when we come back to four, you see them all. You see Sidney now, older, mature,
right.
wrote a book.
Right.
You know, looking a little older. And, right. and you know,
still
everybody's,
great, though. Still
oh, yeah.
Great,
yeah. Everybody's weathered.
Right.
You know, everybody's lived.
Right.
You know, and you kind of ride that with them. So coming back, you know, and you get to see them looking down upon high school kids now.
Right.
And seeing how they're running stuff. So four for me, and like somebody touched on some of the shots earlier about the blurred edges and things. Okay. I don't know if that was you.
No.
Or maybe it was Vito.
Yeah.
How it was
last,
shot at
on
night.
On the last one?
On four.
Oh, okay.
How it looked, kind of the edges looked soft and a lot right. of the night shots and stuff like that. I like that touch. The swerve on that, who was the killers? It was, what's his
it
name?
It was the niece yeah, and then and, Macaulay Culkin's brother.
Kieran.
Emma Roberts and, yeah, and Kieran, right.
She to me, is the best ghost face.
Yeah.
The most vicious. And she put in work on Sidney.
Even her explanation at the end wasn't cringy.
Yeah, it wasn't cringy
was
at all.
Rageful,
I felt it.
Yeah, you definitely
She wanted
it.
To be internet famous.
Yeah, exactly. So.
And she was vicious.
It was strong, man.
Yeah, no, I love that.
I like it. I'm sorry. Yo, go ahead. Yeah. I liked it a lot. I like it better than three. I did. I mean, overall,
yeah,
it's a
exactly.
much better movie. I really like Hayden Panettiere's Kirby. I like
Is
her.
That the blonde chick?
Yeah,
she was a great character. I was so mad when she died.
She's so cute, man.
She was.
I like Kirby. I didn't want to see Kirby, yeah.
Yeah, when she got it, I was pissed.
Kirby was cool.
What did you think about the opening with all the...
The fake out within the
yeah,
fake out. Yeah,
yeah,
I thought that was great.
That was great.
The
fake out within the fake out. You know, you think that one... Yeah.
Right. That was good.
And once again, being meta, because Scream's always at the forefront
right.
of that. It was a film. It was a film that was addressing the remake sensation,
right.
which was completely
yeah.
legit.
Right.
And I mean, the remake things are in full swing because because it was 2011 when it came out, so we
yeah.
had just had the
Nightmare on Elm Street
and Friday, you know, before that, and already had two Halloweens.
Yep.
So
and then remember, he uses that as a question, and she broke down every remake
yep.
that they had between since The Hills Have Eyes, since Texas Chain. All the way to, you know, Bloody Valentine, everything. She broke it down, every remake that was made at that point in time. It was dope. I love that scene.
It was good.
I wasn't hating the teenage characters.
Nope, they were cool.
Yeah. The little class or whatever.
Yeah, stab. Because yeah. they were kind of like the new generation of Randy.
Right.
You know, the film.
The film buffs.
And stuff like
yeah.
that. I think I'm missing something. I liked, you know, Gail and Dewey's relationship again. You know, was, you know.
Oh, the nurse. Not the nurse, the deputy.
The deputy. Lemon Squares.
Lemon Squares. By the way, your Lemon Squares taste like shit. Yeah, she's good. Again, good acting, good direction. That's the thing with these. They're not, the quality doesn't drop. The only thing is, I think the motivation of the killer drops in each of them. You know, even though I loved four, but I just, that's my thing with three and two. I just a reach. But I they're good movies, and I'll drop the remote to watch them, like, especially four.
I think the motivation is legit. I mean, you know, they had the mother. She was angry,
right?
Because of Maureen Prescott's, you know.
Right. Had she done it alone, I would have been good with that.
But
I think the film buff and maybe the brother would have had a more better dynamic. They would have had that friendship maybe of, you know, being film buffs and nerds.
Back to two, you look at, you know, Billy's mom, you know, she's a kind of a middle-aged soccer mom, so she probably needed Timothy Olyphant as the muscle to do
right.
certain things that she couldn't get done.
Yeah, she carved up Randy real lovely.
Yeah.
You buying it?
I buy it. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, so when I was a teenager and I was already like 6'4", 6'5", my mom used to whip my ass, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I owed her money. Like,
well,
if I
you
was
ain't
talking
touching
about,
mom, though.
Yeah, of course. Right. You know what I'm saying? But... you know, she had that mom strength, you know what I'm saying? And she was nice with the chancla. So maybe she was nice with the knife and the stew. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, moms are strong, you know what I mean?
Well,
so.
I think it's psychological, too. But, you know, you're grown. Your mom knows you're stronger than her. Yeah. But she knows you're not going to, you're a mother. You know?
Right.
You know, you touch your mother. It's like, they got you there up there, you know?
Yeah.
But four is good. I like four.
I love four a lot.
I think some people had issues with it when it came out. And I'm like,
I didn't.
This is a wonderful
money.
Movie. Yeah.
Anthony Anderson's death, I thought was strong. The other cops.
Fuck Bruce Willis.
Yeah. The deaths in part four, I thought, were very strong.
Olivia's death. Olivia's the girl across the from
oh,
the house.
Yes. Yeah, that was brutal.
You can see her guts and her intestines and whatnot.
They were not holding back on Scream 4.
Yeah. And then, of course, Anthony Anderson and the other cop,
right?
They were nowhere to be found in that scene.
So you think maybe, you know what I'm saying? Like, you had no clue. Even the death of Sydney's agent.
Oh, yeah, in the parking garage.
Parking garage. Yeah. That was brutal. That was a great scene, too.
Sure.
Very tense. That's the thing that I love the most about that Wes Craven did in that franchise is the tension built and then the payoff, you know what I'm saying? So I think he did that well, like I said, with the going back to that, my favorite scene is the cop car and also the car garage, the cop car in Scream 2 and then the car garage in Scream 4. I thought the build-up and then the execution were just well done, you know, on both of those.
Like I said, I mean, one reason why this franchise is, you know, is so good because you had one guiding vision.
Right.
One vision, you know, it doesn't switch directors.
Right.
You know, of course, this last one
couldn't
be helped. But, you know, this is Wes guiding us from one all the way through four.
Right.
And there is a consistency of quality in this series that I think people recognize. And he's a hell of a director. He was one hell of a director.
Oh, no, he was one of my guys.
I mean, like, when they talk about horror directors, if people put him over Carpenter, I ain't going to put him to argument. Not as I love John Carpenter.
Right.
I ain't going to argue if someone says, you know, I know my buddy Javon would definitely put Wes Craven, you know.
Carpenter over Craven?
Over Carpenter.
Right. But it's like, who do you got? Who's nicer, Muhammad Ali or Tyson? You know, say it's one of those arguments where you're good either way. Who's better, Superman, Batman?
Superman's better than Batman.
Here we go. I go bats, but anyway. But, you know, saying it's like it's one of those arguments, you know, so.
You really think Ben Affleck won that fight? What did Henry Cavill say? If I wanted it, you'd be dead already.
Right, of course.
He never wanted to kill Batman.
Yeah, he could have, you know, squished him, but no.
Oh, thank God. Give me the D8 off of something.
So why do you hold Scream 4 in such regard?
I think just because of the aging process and the jump in years. I don't know if that's the biggest jump between the sequels
or not.
It's 11 years, right?
It is.
So, I don't know, man, and I enjoyed the storyline on it. The kills were dope, you know. What's her name? Emma Roberts.
I also like the fact the final scene with Sydney and the cousin.
Yeah,
how it took place in somewhere that was different.
Sure.
You know, that's why the last episode The ones that are similar yet different, like with the Texas Chain,
right?
Where I held the ones that were different in such high regards, and same thing with Scream, where the final scene in Scream 2 was the movie theater or the school theater.
Which was dope,
which was cool. Yeah. It was different. Mm-hmm. Not going back to the house again, that gets kind of tired to me. You know what I mean? And I like the fact it was in the hospital. It was different. It was very. She was. I couldn't believe how brutal she was. You know what I'm saying?
She was willing to give up.
Yeah, yeah, just to kill Sid. Yeah, man. She was so good. That was so well done. Yeah.
So you got to jump from 2011. Damn, another 11 years.
Let me ask you a question before. To this one. Are we covering a TV series? I've never watched the series.
No.
No, we're not covering it, but I watched two seasons of it. I liked them.
Okay, okay. Maybe. Yeah. Do you want to shed some
I don't know enough about them. Okay. I saw them once, but they were good, dude. Okay. I thought they were really good.
Okay.
So you got another jump of 11 years into this Scream 2022, right? Yep. You know?
Yeah.
That one I went and saw, it doesn't rank high on the list.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't rank high on the list for me. It's probably number 5. We'll get to that, you know, for me. But I think it was good enough, especially without Wes. You know, it didn't blow me away. There was some stuff I didn't like to see. I didn't want to see Dewey die. I don't give a shit.
Right.
I don't care about what the rules are. I didn't want to see Dewey die.
I'm
with you. You know?
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
We I don't know. We live in this age now where we, especially after going through Game of Thrones, we're so conditioned. We love seeing
our favorite characters
die. And I don't think that has to be the case all the time. I'm not saying that we, you know, not to completely get away from it. But there was always something really comforting and nice about those three. I think together they're the strongest. Right. You know, I feel like, you know, when Dewey, Gale, and Sidney are together, there's nothing they can't accomplish.
Right.
And now part of that component, Dewey's really the heart
yep.
of the team, and he's gone now.
Yep.
And what I want to come back to, I was talking about earlier now, moving forward, because they've already greenlit the sequel.
Right.
This is, I guess, probably another 2 years, 2024 we'll get.
Right.
Moving forward, if nothing else, I hope they focus on how Gale's going to cope now.
Right, because she got over it a little quick in Scream 5.
Yeah, it was a little too quick. And I mean, granted, everything was going on.
Right,
didn't really have time to really mourn.
Process
now
it,
that's over, you know, it's going to be interesting to see where Gale's at, what state she's in when we come back to this next movie.
I saw all three of them in the theater, 1, 2, and 3, right? So when Dewey is on the gurney in part 1, the audience erupted when you realize that it's right.
Yeah, I was trying to finish something.
Oh, sorry.
But I just want to see. I'm really curious how she's going to cope with that in the next movie, because, you know, I think one of the cool things about those characters, I think Dewey always brought out the best in Gale.
Right.
And that's gone now, and it could be interesting because Gale and Sidney weren't always the best of friends. Remember,
right.
Sidney couldn't stand Gale. I mean, things have changed over the years,
right.
And they're sisters in arms.
It took a while.
But to see them two, you know, deal with whatever the next threat is without Dewey is going to be interesting.
Yeah, because she's going to be by herself while Sidney has her family and her kids wherever they live. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, she's going to be with her, you know, she's not alone.
Allegedly, because maybe he didn't die. You know, look at Halloween 2018, right? Will Patton. I mean, you never
That's because, see, a pen knife doesn't penetrate the
So, you never know. I don't know if they confirmed it in the movie.
They haven't had a funeral, but he's so beloved. I remember it was like going to a sports event.
Yeah.
When he's on the gurney and puts his hand up like he's okay, and 1 and 2, I mean, everyone just went, it was like.
Even in the beginning of 2 when he's limping onto campus.
Right. Oh, yeah, everyone cheered
for him. Yeah, I think Dewey might have been the most beloved character.
Absolutely.
Right, you know.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
And like I said, and it's nothing wrong. You know, if a writer is doing his or her job, I think you're going to have a bit of an emotional reaction when you lose a character you latch onto. That's their job, to make you care about these characters and have to come back and see their latest escapade or adventure. And I guess we're not going to get Dewey anymore, Dewey Riley. And that's going to be kind of sad because, you know, I like that character, man.
A lot.
Dewey was cool, man. Dewey was the man.
Yeah, he was the man, isn't it?
So, hey, you know, give love to you, David Arquette, you know, if you're watching this podcast, man.
I don't think old girl carves him up like that, but okay.
You know.
Yeah, that part, I had a bad... I'm sorry.
He
bucked her, and, you know, she's a 90-pound, you know, girl, and I'm not being sexist or anything like that. Even me as a 300-pound man, if I get shot and I'm wearing a vest, I'm going to be incapacitated for a while.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm going to be knocked back, you know what I'm saying? And it's going to be hard for me to get up
right.
to even maneuver, you know what I'm saying? And for her...
Well, here's the thing, too. And I me and you and I had this talk, Mike. You know, go ahead, finish.
Go ahead.
You and I had this talk, Mike, and I still see where you're coming from. But she had the element of surprise. That's the only reason why I would somewhat give it up to her because, you know, that's she fair. Took... She Dewey, because Dewey, you know... Dewey, if Dewey had not stood over her kind of in a vulnerable position with his kind of like his abdomen all kind of wide open,
yeah.
I had to see the movie again, but I remember like he was standing over to make sure right. she was dead, and that's when she got him, you know.
That's fair.
So she's already yeah. stabbed him and he's wounded.
Right.
So, you know, he's already, you know, hurt and, you know, his strength level's probably dropped already by 50%. So from that point, it's pretty easy to kind of subdue him and finish him off.
What did you guys think of the reasoning of the whole wham-wham, you know what I mean?
I thought it was the weakest.
Run it by me again. I saw it once in theater.
Okay, so they just wanted to do a requel, and they okay. wanted just to have a better version of part one, and so they had the boyfriend again of the killer, Sidney Prescott's original killer. And it was just such a reach, and that's my whole point of them not continuing this franchise. It just becomes more of a reach, and it becomes harder to find people that got beef with Sidney. You know what I'm saying? So they had to go to Loomis's daughter, and it was just a major reach. Now, even the thing that I get points on, and I've been giving Texas Chain points, and I gave Halloween Kills points, is the kills on this one were excellent. So at this point, it's just, am I just watching it just for that, which sucks. I mean, those are great,
yeah.
but it doesn't have the lasting effect of, say, Halloween 2.
Definitely wasn't feeling the Skeet Ulrich flashbacks.
Right. Oh, no, I hate that.
Right.
The Skeet Ulrich, you know, they never went supernatural. They never went where there's ghosts and all that. They try to dabble
dreams.
In that
they did
in
dreams.
3.
That's right,
well,
right.
they tried to dabble in that in 3, but it failed miserably, and that's why 3 is one of the weakest, or the weakest.
What part? When Sidney was asleep on the couch?
Yeah, the shit with the mom. Ghost and all right. that. That was that was not special effects?
That was a dream.
That was a dream.
Yeah, oh, that was a special effects?
See, I think what you're trying to say is like an Obi-Wan Kenobi moment. That's not what's happening. Because I think what the daughter was, she just started thinking about who her father was, and she kind of tapped into that. Dark side of Billy has to overcome the latest ghost face.
As he looked back then, you know, he looked how he looked back in 96.
Right.
So I don't, just depends how, it's all up for interpretation. We'll never know.
You know what?
I thought that was whack to
if
me.
If I get out of here early enough, maybe I might just go pick it up.
It just
reminded me of Dexter talking to his dad in the show Dexter. You know what I'm saying? Where, you know, he's the moral compass for Dexter. He argues with that character. She's doing the same thing. It just, again, for a movie that always pushes the envelope in change and being different, to go back to these tire tropes sucks.
Yeah, I thought too when Gail and Sidney were out in front of the house and old girl runs out and they look at each other and go, what do you think, fake or...
Right.
And then they're like, yeah, that's fake or whatever. Yeah. And I thought, now you're reaching
right.
even more.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we'll see what they do. I'm going to go see if they do 10 more. I'm going to go see 10 more.
Right, of course. We're horror fanatics. We're glutton for punishment.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I have a point where I have to stop. I mean,
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, like for me, like perfect example was I didn't bother none of the Rob Zombie Halloweens. At least I didn't pay for them. I forgot when it went off because I felt like Halloween didn't need to be remade. So when the first one came out in 07, there was a film called Shoot 'Em Up with Clive Owen.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
And I already saw it was really cool. And then I went to theaters again, but I paid for Shoot 'Em Up, but walked over and watched Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I wasn't going to put my money in there, give Rob Zombie my money.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not for that. And, you know, Halloween 2 was the same way. I was watching something else. I just, you know, walked in. So, yeah, I did watch it, but I wasn't going to pay for
right.
it. You know.
Well...
What? I mean, where can they go at this point? Like, honestly, like, where can you go? Who could be the next killer? It's just ridiculous.
Well, I'm going to call it right now. Dewey's coming back.
You might.
I'm going to say it right now.
I tell you where you can go. Just stop. I mean, sometimes you just need to stop and,
right.
just let it go and leave
right.
it.
Right.
You know?
Is it going to be Sidney's husband? You know what I'm saying? Like, come on.
Is it going to be Sidney at one point?
No. Yeah. You know how upset the core fans will be if Sidney's the main killer? You know what I'm saying? They're never going to forgive this franchise if right. they do that. Now, I want to give props to 5 is the director and the writer, which were not Wes Craven nor Kevin Williamson, they studied, and you would not know the difference. Like, if it wasn't, you know, to the blind fan that doesn't know anything, that watches all of them, you would think the same director and the same writer wrote all 5 of them, because that's how well they executed the dialogue, I felt, in 5. The whole requel thing where they break down requels like Vito says, the senior moment. Who's the movie buff from the original?
Okay, Randy Meeks.
Okay, so Randy Meeks,
sister.
The sisters, his nephew and niece, the twins.
Yeah.
When they broke down the requel thing, that just sounded like Kevin Williams' dialogue, even though it wasn't.
Right.
That's how good it was. So I give them props on that. The kills on this one were brutal. That opening scene where she's doing the thing with the phone and she talks about how she likes like advanced horror and all that.
Yeah.
The way he, you know, they bang on that chick hard. Like, I felt horrible for her. And the fact that she was alive, I thought was a nice twist.
Right.
I just thought the kills and the violence and the carnage was just impeccable. And same thing, again, I give it props, you know, but at the same time, the story is what makes these slashers. People think, oh, slasher fans just want carnage and guts. That's not true. If that was the case, you know, Slumber Party Massacre would be amongst them. You know what I'm saying? Like movies that, you know, but it was the story from Nightmare on Elm Street. It was a story from Friday the 13th. Scream is one of those that has such strong characters that when you lose a Dewey or you lose a Randy, it hurts. You know what I'm saying? Even the chick, the one from part 4, she wasn't around a lot. We didn't have a lot of vested, but she was so well written that you liked her. You know what I mean?
Kirby,
yeah.
Play the Hayden Panettiere.
Yeah. So right. That's the thing with this one. They're all quality movies.
I don't think you can compare Scream to Friday the 13th. I think Scream's a far better quality of spirit films than.
No, I'm talking about Scream's are all quality.
Yeah.
All 5 of them, they're all well made. You know what I'm saying? All 5.
I mean, because as much as I like Halloween, Halloween's got some humdingers in there in the franchise.
Oh, yeah, Halloween 5, I mean, you know, don't really, even get me started.
Really bad characters.
Resurrection, don't even get me started.
Shout out, Buzz and Buzz. All right.
Well, so let's do our rankings.
Yeah.
You want to set it? Or?
Yeah, of course. Started off.
Oh, man. How would I rank these, man? They're overall still enjoyable films, so I would go with... you know, for some reason, I'm going to say... I'm going to go with 4. I'd go 4-1. 4-1... 2, and then the 5th one.
And then 3.
Oh, no, oh, sorry. 4, 1, 2, 3, and then the 5th one.
Okay. I got 1, 4, 2, 5, 3. So I got number 1 from, you know, the original, because, again, in my opinion, you don't need him. And then I got 4, which I thought was excellent.
Yeah.
I go 2. Because of that scene, I just think it's so well executed. Again, I'm going to go back to the car scene. I just think it's so well done.
Yeah.
Everything, it's so good. And then 5, I thought the kills were excellent. And then 3 is just 3.
I'm going to go with Corey. My order is the same. 4, 1, 2, 3, 5. As it stands now, you know what I mean?
Right.
So you wanted to mention.
Yeah. So if you guys want, there's a franchise for, you know, Hardcore to review. We have 3 that we're contemplating. A Nightmare on Elm Street to round out the big 3, because we did Halloween,
right.
We did Friday the 13th. So A Nightmare on Elm Street's on the table, Child's Play's on the table, and then we go into some horror sci-fi with the Alien franchise.
Well, I can roll with you on two of the 3. Yeah, I can't roll with you on Child's Play. I don't know nothing about that franchise. quite frankly, I'm not going to... I'm not going to spend time watching that franchise. Sorry, I just not down with Chucky. So, but I, you know, the Elm Street films I can roll with. The Alien films I'm cool with. Phantasm's another one I can roll with. Phantasm,
yeah.
Easy.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
I think
Phantasm's worth a look. Phantasm's, you know, is very underrated.
Oh, absolutely.
We'll see what we can get to, but I'm gonna have to close this out now.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, thanks, fellas, for
always
coming out again.
Thank you, Mike, and everybody. Have a good night.
Thanks for watching.